Luke 9:23-25 read, "And he said to all, If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself?" Hello and welcome back to Think This Way. This is the podcast of Faith Bible Church. As always, I am your host, Pastor Bryce. Today we continue our quarterly focus on discipleship. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? We're thinking especially about the call to discipleship and its cost. We've been looking at Luke 9:23-25 and taking it a phrase at a time as a kind of springboard to think about different topics within discipleship. And today we come to the essence of Jesus' command in Luke 9:23, which is at the end of that verse when he says, "Follow me. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." This means that all true disciples of Jesus must follow him. Now, this might not be immediately apparent to you, but if you tried to take that in an exactly literal way, it would be impossible. When Jesus first said that, it was possible. He was here in the flesh, in his body, on earth, walking, traveling around with a kind of itinerant ministry, and he had disciples that he spoke to them and said, "Follow me." They did. And that meant literally getting up, leaving nets, leaving boats, leaving Zebedee in the boat, leaving tax collecting booth, and they walked behind him. And that, of course, is the most literal sense of follow me. But Jesus, after his death and resurrection, was here for a time and then ascended to heaven, and at present he sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven. That's where he is bodily. He's with us to the end of the age in a spiritual sense, but bodily he is in heaven. It is no longer possible to follow him in that literal sense. And yet all Christians for 2,000 years have taken Jesus' sayings about following him and applied them in a spiritual sense. That is, we still consider them to apply to us, even though we can't literally follow after him. So in what way are we called to follow Jesus? I think the essence of the metaphor is this. We are called to, in response to Jesus' words, become like him. I think that is the essence of following him. His disciples, they followed their rabbi to learn from him through his words and to become like him. As they watched him, as they learned from him, and as they watched him, they became more like him. They were becoming like their teacher. This is kind of like what we see in Matthew 10, where Jesus says, "A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master." Our following of Jesus is when we listen to him, follow him by becoming more like him. Today, I want to talk about this imitation of Christ in two parts. First of all, we are to follow Jesus by day after day becoming more like him in suffering. That shouldn't be a surprise because Luke 9:23 focuses on that. Remember that this taking up your cross daily is a picture of self-denial. Self-denial involves regular suffering. If you have something you really want and you don't get it, there is suffering in that. If you have something you really don't want and it happens, there is suffering in that. And Jesus says that's a requirement for discipleship. That kind of self-denial which leads to suffering, that is just going to happen. But what's important is our taking up a cross daily is followed by "and follow me." Our suffering is like Jesus' suffering. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to literally take up a cross and die there, and we are called, not literally, but metaphorically, to follow him by this painful self-denial. We are becoming like him the more we suffer in godly ways. After Jesus predicts his own death in John chapter 12, he offers a saying that's kind of like Luke 9:24. He says, "Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." So he's saying things just like he's saying in Luke 9, but then in John 12 he adds this, if anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. He means, in part, heaven and glory, because we follow him up to heaven and glory. But there's only one way to get up to heaven and glory, and it is through Jerusalem. We must be willing to suffer for our Savior, because he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and one who suffered. This is put more clearly in passages like 1 Peter 2, starting partway through verse 20. If when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. And bear in mind, he's talking about slaves in the ancient world suffering from unjust masters. You could think of employees being treated poorly by bad bosses, and you do good and yet suffer for it. You work hard and they give you more work, and you endure. This is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For, he continues, to this you've been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. Suffering is one of the ways that we imitate Christ. And Peter is clear, we're not talking about just any suffering. If you do something foolish and suffer for it, that's kind of on you. God will still help you, but that's on you. We're talking about when you do the right thing and suffer for it. Or when you suffer for Christ's sake, for righteousness' sake, for the gospel's sake, for doing the right thing, then you are putting your feet in footprints already on the ground. They are the footprints of Christ. He also suffered as a righteous man for doing the right thing. This is why, for example, the prosperity gospel is never going to ultimately prevail with God's true people. And it's because it contradicts even common sense. We are called to imitate Christ. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. He had great joy, and he celebrated his relationship with the Father, and he loved others. So there are many things very beautiful about Jesus' life, but no one today can really think of his life without the cross coming to mind. He was a man who suffered in his life and then suffered in his death. A prosperity gospel that says, you should follow this man and your life will look nothing like his ever did. I remember a friend of mine at the coffee shop, as we talked about some of the prosperity gospel that he was just slightly involved in. That was the point I brought up, and I typically bring up to those who are enamored by the riches and the health and the promises of the prosperity gospel, is that if all the promises in that gospel are fulfilled, we will live lives that look completely foreign to Jesus, whom we follow. Whom we follow. Now later, of course, we will follow him up to heaven. There will be glory, but we're not there yet. We're not there yet. We're still in our earthly lives. So we are like Jesus in suffering. Paul, who came, some would say, well, Jesus carried those sufferings, so we don't have to. Okay, then just look at the disciples after Jesus died and resurrected. They all suffered. They experienced martyrdom because they were following in the footsteps of Jesus. In fact, Paul puts it this way in Philippians 3:10. This is his aspiration, that I may know him, Jesus, and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. We become like Jesus in his death by suffering. Paul had some sufferings that were unique to his apostolic ministry that we can't fully imitate. But on the other hand, what we share with Paul is that we are followers of Jesus, and we too can share in his death by our right suffering, by suffering like him and suffering for him. That's why if you have an expectation of the Christian life, that if it's going well, it shouldn't be hard. You're following somebody else, I think, because Jesus did the Christian life great. He followed the Father perfectly, and it was really hard the whole time, and especially at the end. And so if we are following him, that should just be an expectation that we have. There'll be a lot of joy, but if we really want to follow Jesus, then we're going to follow him on a path that includes suffering. Now, our imitation of Christ in following him is not just about suffering. In fact, the suffering itself serves another purpose in our life, and that is to make us like Christ in holiness. Think, for example, of a wonderful passage in 1 John 2:6. It's sandwiched between a passage about keeping God's commandments before it and a passage on loving others as one of Jesus' commandments after it. And it says this, "Whoever says he abides in him, Jesus, ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." Now it's not suffering that's in view, but righteousness, a way of living, a way of being, a mindset, a heart set, ought to be like Christ. He walked in a certain way. He lived, thought, and behaved a certain way in his earthly life. And we, who say we abide in him, we should be walking that same way. So just to make it more practical, Jesus was so caught up, so obsessed, not with sports, not with the direction of his country. He was so obsessed with God's glory, so much so that he went in the temple and he flipped tables of money changers over. Zeal for God's house consumed him because God's house represented God. His glory was tied up in that house. You, as you follow Jesus, one of the ways you know you're actually obeying that command to follow him is the further you follow him, the more zeal you should feel in your life for God's glory. A greater willingness even to take risks in defense of the glory of God. Again, look at Jesus who's in front of you. If you're following him, he's taking time to heal crowds, to heal all the afflicted to come, even if they interrupt his rest. He stops, he teaches, he heals because he feels a compassion for them. The further you follow Jesus on the path of discipleship, the more compassion you should feel to people suffering. Maybe when you first become a Christian, you are a little bit impatient, like, get it together, people, what are you doing? But as you follow Jesus longer, you become more compassionate and sympathetic to those who are suffering. Again, you're following Jesus and you look at the way he deals with his 12 disciples who fumble all over themselves. And Jesus is patient. He tells them the truth, but he endures with them. And having loved them, he loved them to the end. You, the longer you follow Jesus, the more patient you will be with Christians who fail. Instead of immediately dismissing them and deriding them, you will feel more of a patience for genuine Christians who fail you, who fail others. You follow Jesus and you see the way he deals with Judas. He loved Judas. He was willing to receive that kiss, even at the end, that greeting of affection. It was not true from Judas to Jesus. It was true from Jesus to Judas, that he loved them to the end. And his dealings with Judas, even though Judas was not his elect, even though he knew from the beginning that Judas was not truly his, that Judas' heart did not truly belong to him, he still dealt kindly with Judas. He represented the Father whose reign falls on the 11 faithful disciples and the one unfaithful disciple. The longer you follow Jesus, the more you will love even your enemies, even those who renounce the faith, who defect, even those who oppose the faith, you will love them. The more you follow Jesus, as you watch him dealing with the Pharisees, the more moral courage you will have, a willingness to confront wrong and injustice, again, not out of bounds, not in an uncontrolled way, but with truth and honesty and love and hope that those you speak against will repent. The more you follow Jesus, the more full of good works you will be, because his whole life was full of good works. He went about doing good. There is a real busyness of ministry in his life, and if you follow him, that's going to be true of you more and more. Of course, Jesus never married, but was perfectly pure, resisted all sexual temptation, was completely self-controlled, and the more you follow Jesus, the more you will reflect all those qualities as well. Really, ultimately, we could summarize all these things by saying the more you follow Jesus, the Son of God, who perfectly trusted in and submitted to the will of the Father, the more you will trust in God and submit to his will. And that's never going to be completed in this life. Of course, we're always going to look different from Jesus in a number of ways. But again, just to simplify things, when Jesus calls us to follow him, a rabbi expects his disciples to become like him. This was something actually that was very observable. Years ago, when Campus Outreach was housed here at Faith Bible Church, this was one of the things, it was delightful to see. I was involved in Campus Outreach for a bit as well. But what you would see is there would be these younger believers who had just come to Christ themselves. They'd be growing. They'd share the gospel with someone else. That other person would trust in Christ on campus. Then they would begin discipling this person by meeting with them, teaching them scripture, helping them, doing life with them. And what you found is at some point, you could tell who was discipling who just by looking at mannerisms. The people being discipled by this person over here would talk like that person, would use hand gestures like that person. I mean, they looked like a little version of that person. Not at all in a bad way, but I think that was a very tangible picture of what it means to be discipled by Christ. We ought to look more like him, in suffering like him, and also in holiness. It might be in the past that you've assumed you're following Jesus because you did pray a prayer, and you are nominally Christian, and you claim him. Or it might, on the other hand, be that you want to be one who's following Jesus, but you just hate suffering and avoid it at all costs. But whatever the case in the past might be, may God help us all now to think this way.